learning through failure or mistakes, you need to really experience that, because just the reading part or the studying part, the theory part, is not enough for you, which makes it even more holistic.
Magnificence is the boundless expanse of being, a liberation from limitation. It is the embodiment of authenticity, where you shed the shackles of self-doubt, shame, and imposter syndrome. Here, worthiness flourishes like a vibrant garden where you have the power to determine your actions, destinations, and your closest relationships. In the realm of magnificence, creative individuality takes center stage. Your greatness is acknowledged, celebrated, and nurtured. Gone are the days of mindless conformity or fitting in just to keep the peace. This show and your host, Patricia Lindner, are here to guide you as you align with your authentic design, leading the way to a life of purpose and fulfillment. Magnificence is not some unreachable peak or distant dream. It's inside you, waiting to shine brighter than you ever thought possible. Welcome to your magnificence.
Hello and welcome to another amazing episode of Magnificence, the one and only empowerment podcast that strikes a match and shines the light on your magnificence and on the magnificence of my amazing guests. And today I have with me the one and only magnificent and amazing Dina Wolf. Hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, Patricia. So nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being my guest. Before we dive into everything about you, into your magnificence, I would love to introduce you to the audience and say a couple of sentences about you. That is just a very surface level introduction. We are going to dive into the depth of who you are during the conversation, but just to, introduce you to the audience. Dina is a functional holistic nurse who is transforming lives through vibrant living health coaching. Dana is an outstanding expert in cellular healing, pattern reframing, detox, and mindful wellness empowerment. I'm overly grateful and happy to have her with me because I feel she is the most incredible health detective on the whole planet. And I'm really looking forward to diving into everything that is magnificent about you. So welcome again, Dana, to the show.
Well, thank you. What a great introduction. I so appreciate you. Awesome.
Yeah, and I can't wait to really dive into everything about Dana. Because whenever I have a guest, I look into their human design chart. And I figure out what is she about? What is a topic that I could find to describe what she's about? So I'm very unconventional when it comes to human design chart reading or the gene keys. And I talked to you before I pushed the record button. I would love to integrate the gene keys in this episode because I saw this amazing connection that goes hand in hand with this topic I came up with. And for me, you are all about heart-centered and guided by your heart. There is a lot of power, like heart power, when it comes to making decisions, being a leader, sharing your amazing gifts with the world. Everything about your chart always guides me back to this full-heartedness, heart-centeredness, rooted in your heart. So that is, these are aspects that I came up with and I wanted to share them prior to our conversation.
Yeah, I mean, and when we chat earlier, I was so intrigued because you have been doing this for a really long time. And so you have amazing insights into human design and then also the gene keys, which I'm familiar with my human design, but the gene keys not so much. And so that was pretty incredible adding that in for me. So I appreciate you.
Yeah. And so why don't we look at your human design chart first? That is how most of the episodes start. And then I have a conversation with my guests. And in this episode, we are going to have a look at your gene keys as well.
Wonderful. I'm excited.
Me too. So this is your amazing human design chart. And whenever I have a look at the chart, I let this picture sink into all of my cells. And what stood out was this connection, this 2034 of the manifesting generator. That's the powerful connection of the archetypal manifesting generator. I don't know if you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
That is you totally standing in your power, being this powerful. I want to just reverse it, generating manifestor and manifesting generator. I think that is what this connection, this channel is all about. Because you see, the sacral, which is this sexual power of being able to do all the work, to stand tall and to become magnificent, masterful in what you create, and to have this sustainable power, that is this engine inside of you, the generator part, and it is directly connected with your throat, the center of manifesting through speaking, through bringing something into the world. And so I feel this is such an incredible connection. And it is, for me, this is the channel of charisma. Because whenever you do what you really, really, really love, and now we are back to the heart, then you have this charismatic aura. You are contagious. You are radiating something that is this special sauce of what you want to share with the world. If it is something that you totally love, that you totally stand for, and this is the first clue, when you have this connection and you are a manifesting generator, you always need to do what you love and you need to love what you do. And this creates my first question. Please share more about your amazing work as a functional holistic nurse and tell me, is this relating to what I just said? Do you feel like you are this charismatic person standing in her power when you share with the world what you have to give to the world?
I absolutely 110%. And it's interesting because even when you're speaking of that, I knew what I wanted to do when I was 2 years old. And I know most people don't. I knew that I wanted to help people in the medical field. And so I, right out of high school, like I graduated at 17. I lived on my own when I was 16. I went straight into nursing school, graduated, became a nurse, been a nurse for 22 years. And it's so interesting because there's been a lot of shifts along the way because of different types of things that have happened to like family members or, you know, myself and my health. And so there's been a lot of shifting. And the interesting thing about having that connection is whatever I am passionate about, I am willing to share with the world. Absolutely, 110%. And it's very also interesting that people are willing to follow and they're looking for leaders who know and who have done the research and who have gone before them and made the path. So they, you know, maybe I'm one of the first people to do some of the things that I've done. Maybe not, you know, I there's a lot of people that are out there doing what I'm doing. However, they don't do it the way that I do it.
Yeah.
And that, and then another thing I wanted to comment about was the knowing, like the knowing in your soul of who you are and who you authentically have been designed to be. There's such a, it's so freeing to be operating in that knowing.
That is really powerful, and that makes me want to ask you something, because I need to go back to the chart, and that is a very different direction that I wanted to go into. But as you just said, you knew who you are from the very beginning and what you wanted to do. I need to hear the chart again, because that is incredible. That is really incredible. I see that you have this amazing willpower, which is also connected to your throat.
That's so funny. Yeah.
But, and this is amazing, because you have this G center, this center of self-awareness, self-love, knowing who you are. This is open. Mm-hmm. And now you allow me to give another example of there is no right or wrong, good or bad, boxing people in. You have this open center, which usually means when people do this normal human design reading, they say, oh, you have this broad variety, and that's what you have of what you could do, who you could be. Oftentimes you struggle with the direction. Oftentimes you struggle with this broad or mega buffet of opportunities that you could do, that you could represent, that you could present and create. But you tell me, I have been knowing almost all my life what I wanted to do and what I wanted to become. And so I see, and I want the world to see, that there is no fixed thing in a chart. It's just the awareness of knowing, oh, there might be a challenge, there might be a shadow aspect, but it's nothing like getting rid of the shadow or overcoming something. For me, it is integrating all of that. And I wonder, and that is what I really truly want to know, this is someone who might struggle with what direction to take.
Yeah. And I'm actually in that struggle currently.
Oh, you are.
I am. Yeah. I have such a vast amount of knowledge, and I'm in the process of creating a coaching program right now for women who are struggling with their hormones, and it'll encompass tools, holistic tools, neuroscience. So I have all these broad categories of how I can help somebody. My struggle was, I'm not struggling with it anymore, but I currently have been going through this for about the past 6 months. About a year ago, I became bored with what I was doing. And then I'm always learning and gathering new tools, working on longevity. We in our family, the women in our family, live to be in their 90s. And so it's very imperative that we live healthy into the 90s for me. And so that is my goal, one of my health visions and one of my health goals. And so how I do that is by maintaining good health, dietary, moving my body, you know, all the things that I can get my hands on that are tangible, that information, and how I can actually make that happen. And so gathering all those tools, I have this vast amount of knowledge. And so I was having an issue putting it into a box or a container. And so it totally makes sense. I'm open to the changes. The struggle was, I like fire hose information, but not everybody does.
Yeah.
And so how do I take that fire hose and get the pearls of wisdom and trickle those onto my coaching clients?
Yeah. And so for me, it sounds as if you were not struggling with direction per se, but the manifesting generator, multi-potentialite characteristics of, I could do everything. I really could do everything. I could work with men. I could work with women. I could work with children. I could do this. Yeah. I could do that. And you said a very important thing. You said, I felt bored. And I so hear you, as I'm a manifesting generator. It is so hard to focus on one aspect, because it easily comes the point, or there is easily this phase where it feels like, oh, I'm not just this. There is this multitude of things that I could do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100% resonate with that.
Maybe that's not the best. I don't know. I don't know if this is true. It's not the best when it comes to marketing, because it's not this small focus on one thing and you just stand for X. But yeah. I feel that is so needed, because with this broad variety of what you know and what you can do for people, you are a gem. Because you are a one-stop shop for people.
Yeah. But it's saying that, like, how do you market yourself that way? You know what I mean? That was what my struggle was. Do I really want to focus on just one thing? And then how do I market that? Which, you know, working on and getting there and getting all those pieces together. And I'm a, you know, as the manifesting generator, we've got seven things going at one time, all the time, it seems like. And so, you know, I want things done like that because I'm a get it done kind of person. And so, yeah, sometimes it doesn't happen that fast.
Yeah. But just listening to what you say, I want to share something about, and I really talk about the profile of someone, but that just came to me when I listened to what you said. You are a 1-3 investigating martyr. And that again, so I think you are such an outstanding manifesting generator, because you have those manifesting generator traits. You have the broad variety of directions you could take. And just looking at your profile, this is so amazing, because on the conscious side, which is the one, which is your leading or guiding line, you investigate and explore how to build your expertise. I bet you studied a lot. You went through lots of phases where you learned things, where you discovered things, where you read a lot, where you took courses and apprenticeships. And this second aspect, I think that is such a great connection. On the subconscious or unconscious level, you are this martyr type, which sounds a bit negative. It is not meant in a negative way. It is learning by trial and error, really trying things out, maybe with other people, maybe from your own experience, maybe suffering from something and trying out a new remedy or a way to heal something. And this connection of knowing a lot, because you are this Sherlock Holmes of investigating and really figuring out things as an experience and going through all the stuff, like really learning through failure or mistakes, you need to really experience that, because just the reading part or the studying part, the theory part, is not enough for you, which makes it even more holistic. And I wonder if this really is true for your biography or for your past.
Yeah, I would say yeah. I don't ever ask my clients to do anything I haven't done. So whether it's, you know, fasting or, you know, incorporating more fats into their diet, like I've done all the things, you know, so I experience it firsthand. I remember in the past, I did a lot of trial and error, and I am very much so. I'm actually reading a book right now. And when you were talking about that, I'm like, yeah, I'm reading a book right now. I made it to chapter 3. I went back to chapter 1 and now I'm doing the work, you know, because it's like it has some exercises in there. And I'm like, okay, let me experience this first. And then we'll move to chapter 2. And then I'll do the experience in chapter 2. And then we'll go to chapter 3. You know, so I want to be able to experience it as I'm going so that I know exactly how the tools work. And then how I will bring the tools to my clients.
Nice. I think that is totally so. You say you are a holistic, like functional holistic nurse, and I think that shows up in your chart in an amazing way. This holistic aspect of practical and theoretical input and how you apply this with people. And I love that you said you never tell people to do anything that you have not tried out. So I think that is so great.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
What about this could be a great time to pull up the chart again and transition into the aspects of the gene keys. But therefore, I need to pull up the chart again so that you and people see what is it all about? Where are the gene keys?
Yeah. And
so just one aspect of the gene keys can easily be found when people have their human design chart handy. They can look into those numbers. And so in human design, they talk about the incarnation cross. And the incarnation cross is the combination of those four numbers on top of this list of numbers. And I just try to really say it in a practical way. So this is the conscious sun sign, the conscious earth sign, the subconscious sun and the subconscious earth sign. This is the first path of the gene keys. And just to describe it even a bit deeper, there is this number behind the dot.
Mm-hmm.
Number shows up in what we just talked about. That is the investigator. That's the number one. That's here. And the martyr, that's the three, that's here. And that are the lines of the I Ching. That when you go into the gene keys, even have a much deeper meaning than they have right here. And so when we look into your gene keys and those first four numbers, I'm going to show them on your gene keys template. And then there are other pathways in the gene keys because it's a holistic profile of the path of genius. And that's that. That's why you are here, what you have to learn in this lifetime, what makes you thrive and radiate and lets you live healthy and happy, and what your purpose is. And then there is a second pathway that is all about love. Self-love and love with others that plays out in different periods of times, from being in the womb of your mother to being a teenager and a young adult. And those aspects, those genetic, energetic aspects show up in this path of love. And then there is a third path that is the path of prosperity. And I don't know why I was drawn to aspects of the path of prosperity when I looked at your chart. And I know why. I know why.
Oh, do tell.
Because this connection, this line,
the
45, is the channel of money. And that is someone who is focused on putting resources and money to work. Who is able to really deal with this aspect, the material aspect and the money aspect. And I thought like, oh, I would love to learn more about that in your gene keys.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that's why I was guided to look into the pearl aspects. And so allow me to stop the screen share and share it again to pull up your gene keys. And for your gene keys, I drew a picture of a heart. And inside the heart, there are those roots, and a beautiful tree grows out of this heart. That is what this is, just translated into a picture. If I drew a picture, I painted a picture for you, I would create this heart with roots and a tree growing out of the heart. That is just this quick, that is what I saw when I looked at that. And now, having talked about the four numbers on top of the template of the human design chart, this is the green pathway. So that's the first number, the conscious sun. That's the second number, the conscious earth. That's the third number, the radiance. That's the subconscious sun and the subconscious earth. So what shows up in the gene key, in the human design as your incarnation cross, those combination, combined numbers, that's here in the gene keys as the path of the genius.
Mm.
And I want to dive into your life's work. That is why you are here. And I don't know if it is big enough. Can you read what is written next to this gene key 29?
It looks like devotion, commitment, half-heartedness, and then line one, creator.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And so we already talked about the heart. And so the gene keys, and that's why I really love them, they share about the shadow aspect of a gene key and the gift aspect of a gene key, and even the CD aspect, which is the more elevated aspect of the gene key. But let's look at half-heartedness and commitment. And when I looked at that, it is when people first see their gene keys and they look at all their... So it's, I think it's a bit lighter. They are all the shadows that could turn out to be something that you live, that you have in your life. And there is nothing wrong with having this shadow. But I think the most important part is being aware of the shadow and embracing the shadow and saying yes to the shadow so that you don't have to hide the shadow underneath the carpet, but you can embrace it and you can say yes. Half-heartedness, maybe you just have this aversion when you read half-heartedness. My life is not about half-heartedness. I'm full-hearted. I'm totally with all my heart and soul. Half-heartedness could show up as something to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. It could be half-heartedness when it comes to sharing your gifts, because there's fear somewhere, maybe fear of failure. And the goal, the main goal of the gene keys is to contemplate and look into the aspects and ask yourself questions of where do I experience half-heartedness? Where do I need to be half-hearted to feel safe? And then to see how can you commit to something? I don't know. So just right at that point, does this make sense to you?
Yeah, I would say the half-heartedness was happening when I was bored. Yeah. Yeah, like I didn't feel like my heart was in it anymore. Like I was like, oh, I'm bored. Like I want something new and exciting and different, you know? And so, yeah, and that's why the pivot.
Yeah. And so that makes a lot of sense, because I just try to summarize what is inside of that. And there is much, much more. You can imagine that when someone contemplates a shadow and a gift and a city and also the line, which is the line of the I Ching, we could talk about that for hours, but just to give you and also the audience an impression. So this key, which is part of your human design chart as well, it is you saying yes to life, this full-hearted and committed yes to life, and to trust, to never, ever hold back with what you want to share with all of your heart. And if fear or doubt show up, then still never give away your power, and never give away your power when comparing yourself to others. So don't compare yourself to others. Never give away your power to gurus, to teachers, and to systems, because you and only you know that you are amazing. And it is the most so, and this is, that sounds a bit harsh, but half-heartedness might be the most unhealthy aspect in your whole chart. So whatever you do, and that is why I painted this picture of the heart with the roots inside the heart, whatever grows in your life when it comes to your business, it must come from you being fully committed to it. Whatever shows up, should you succeed or should you fail, just be fully committed to the failure or the success. It is committing with all of your heart and not overcommitting, because then it's like giving away the power again. When you overcommit, then you burn out.
Yeah.
So I hope that makes sense. That makes
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I felt there is this amazing connection. That's why I chose another. And I'm so sorry. I would love to go back to the full picture of you, and we are going to do that in a short. I wanted to talk about 21 because that was part of your money line.
Mm-hmm.
And it says culture. And I thought that is interesting to bring up because the aspect, the sphere of culture is what holds you back to really prosper and thrive. And this is control.
Interesting.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
Control is the shadow aspect of culture, of this sphere. And authority is your gift. What that means, they are just words when you read them. That is moving from control to authority. And how do you do that? Line 5 is the most powerful in just my point of view. The most powerful lines when it comes to this culture aspect, it's really owning the power and contributing to something much bigger, to really have this mission and speaking and acting from your heart. And here it comes again, speaking and acting from your heart, not controlling, but really letting it out from all of your deepest places in your heart. And that is what you said, I think, in the very beginning. It's all about a deep desire to serve and to surrender and rise up with enthusiasm and authority. And that is where authority comes in. You need to show up as the authority without letting yourself be controlled, without controlling others, or without being controlling, but using your power and authority to not let control come into your way when it comes to prospering and thriving.
Absolutely makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I'm really big on not being attached to the outcome.
Yeah.
Like it is my gift to be able to share my knowledge.
Yeah.
And how you receive it is completely up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that is
great.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you say you are detached, so I did not intend to talk about that, but just see the pearl, which is, I think that's the core of the Gene Keys, the pearl aspect. That's where everything becomes the essence. That's the heart of prospering. And with prospering, I don't just talk about money. That could be the monetary aspect in a 3D reality, but that could be this holistic perception of what prospering means. And see, you just amazingly talked about.
I know, oh my God. I wasn't even looking at that. But yeah, that is That is pretty much how I see it. Even with my children, I'm like, I'm going to give you the tools and the power.
Yeah.
And but it's ultimately your life to live.
Yeah.
God gave me my free will and he gave you yours too. So you now get to choose whether you want to learn by however, like I'm going to tell you what I think, but and then what I feel is knowledge. You may need to learn it from a book. You may need to learn it from a friend. You may need to hear it 50,000 times. You may need to experience it trial and error because we all learn differently.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm like, I'm going to give you the tools and the power, but it's up to you to put them to use. But I'm not attached to the outcome. Like, if that's the way that you need to learn, then so be it, you know?
And that is great. And now I want to really see you in the full beauty of who you are. When we talk about expectation, and you brought up this great example of raising children or working with clients or building a business.
Yeah.
I would love to know more about this detachment and the letting go of expectation from your experience and how this really serves you and serves those who surround you.
Yeah. Well, I think like just how I've explained, you know, not being attached to the outcome, you're presenting the tools, you're coaching, you're giving them all of the things that they need. Ultimately, it's up to them to put them to use and to choose to adopt them. Now, there's also some techniques that I do use that help them do that, because there's sometimes we have something called secondary gain. You're familiar with this, right? And where we're getting something from being stuck in a loop or a pattern. Like there's some sort of gain. And here's an example. Like maybe somebody who comes to me and they say, I'm tired of being sick and tired, but yet that's how they get all their attention. Yeah. And that's how their family members see them as sick. And maybe they've been sick for a really long time, but they're tired of it. In order for them to mentally let go of the sickness, they have to be able and willing to give up the attention that comes with it. And sometimes that doesn't happen very easily. So getting to the core of what the attention, what the being sick gives them is also really key, because then we can decide, is it going to be something that you're willing to give up or not? Can we replace it with something else? Is there another way that you can feel loved by not being sick? You know, and so managing that expectation, and the mind is powerful. It's so powerful. And I do a lot of reading and a lot of techniques and tools and exercises that help us shift so that we can be who we were designed to be and not be living by default or by design.
Human design, hopefully. Human design. Living by design. And just this concept of the secondary gain, I think that is worthwhile talking about it a bit more. I know what it is all about.
Yeah.
And even though I know what it is all about, I sometimes struggle with accepting that there is a secondary gain, because sometimes, and I would love to hear that from you, sometimes it's like a hidden aspect. That's not like, oh, now I have this back pain and now I don't need to go to work anymore, so I can sit at home and be lazy. It's not that obvious sometimes.
No.
I don't need to tell my boss that I don't like the job and that I need to change jobs. Sometimes it's more hidden, because I feel that people who listen to that or read about the secondary gain is like, hey, I'm sick and I want to become healthy again. How the heck could I have a secondary gain of the same sickness?
Oh, yeah. I see it a lot with weight loss. Weight serves as a protective mechanism for a lot of people. And so we put on the weight to protect us, because then maybe nobody will look at us. And then we don't have to have the dialogue or the touching or the you know, the uncomfortable. And this happens a lot with people who were sexually abused or abused as children or younger of any kind, really. And so, you know, of course, if you are in that boat, it is very imperative that you talk to a licensed psychologist or somebody, a professional, right? And so working through some of those inadequacies, I'll call them, that we have, a lot of times we'll self-sabotage and not even know it because we are in that secondary gain pattern. I have to keep the weight on to protect myself. So so then it makes it for them when they go to exercise, eat clean, you know, make the necessary changes that we're programmed to believe will help us change, they sabotage. So they'll do really good for a while and then go to, like, you know, fast food and just eat a whole bunch, or they'll stop doing something that would keep them in the momentum, right? So there's a lot of self-sabotage subconsciously happening to keep them in the pattern of being overweight. Does that make sense?
Even though they don't like the pattern of being correct. And that is the same with so many other patterns. Abusive relationship. You don't want to be in an abusive relationship, but that is something that feels familiar, maybe. And then you are like subconsciously drawn to being in this toxic pattern. And when you talked about weight loss, and I think that is such a good example, because no one who is overweight would say, yeah, I'm overweight because it protects me or it's or I do that on purpose. I once worked with someone, a man who was really heavily overweight, and he tried all the diets of the world, and it was a mental issue, not like a mental sickness, but it was something that was programmed in his, I think, like a cellular memory that we worked on. And so he could lose weight when facing something that was far from doing diets or exercising, that was a deep traumatic experience that he finally could face and let go of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of times bringing something to our awareness, subconsciously, we've got all this stuff that runs in the background because that's just how the brain is designed. You're constantly processing information. It can't process every single thing, so it deletes, distorts, and generalizes. And so when we have those filters that we're looking through in the back, and it's, I need protection, I don't have protection, and that filter is constantly playing, when we move it to the forefront and say, oh, this was the trigger, and this is when this started, and how can I shift how I view that, it opens up the possibilities for them to do things differently, shift the weight, and not be in that sabotaging, self-sabotaging pattern.
Yeah.
So it's great for our clients who we get to help, because they wouldn't know unless they were, I mean, if you know better, you do better, right? But sometimes we just don't know better.
Right. Right.
So it's hard to do better.
And that is so great, because that is so close to the aspect of embracing shadows and embracing behavior that obviously is behavior that does not lead us to the goal, the expected goal. But just looking at the behavior and what it stands for or what it wants to say, and that is this point where oftentimes there is this epiphany in people where they say, ah, I did not. So I just had someone who had an issue with eating, like binge eating, but not being overweight. And it was such a key to transformation, looking at the behavior and the pattern. And I love looking at the patterns as keys to resolve something and not as something to just put aside and let go of everything.
And I love what you're doing when you're reading these human designs and the gene keys. Instead of being afraid of something or, you know, put off by it, when you embrace that is part of you.
Yeah.
And we all have these mechanisms. And it's to the degree of what they're at play. And knowing that they're there, like, again, you're bringing it into the awareness. Yeah. And then you can say, I can make a more informed decision now because I know that this is at play and I know that this is where I want to go.
Yeah.
You know, so I love that.
Absolutely. That's why I am triggered by people who say, you need to get rid of this and you need to let go of that. You need to be aware. And that is when I oftentimes talk about my background picture. You only can see those light aspects of this peacock because it's on this dark canvas. And so canvas. Mm-hmm. And this is like really embracing the shadow and the light aspect and not wanting to get rid of everything, but just looking at it and approaching it with love. That's bringing us back to the love aspect.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of emotions that we feel, and we say emotions are good and emotions are bad. I don't say good or bad either. I like to say some we'd like more of and some we'd like less of. But, you know, we've all seen the movie where they had the all the emotions playing out. You need all of them. And even in the Bible, God gets angry. Like, anger is not bad, you know?
I just thought about anger.
Yeah.
And
feel us to do things differently.
And I think this swallowed anger, and I know what I'm talking about as currently suffering from gallbladder issues. I just thought anger is the emotion that is like in the neutral, like this is the threshold of getting into the positive emotions. And for me and for my part, anger was not allowed in my life when I was a kid. So you needed to swallow anger. And I really, before I had my kids, I would have told you, anger. No, that's not part of my life. I don't feel angry, never, ever. I'm not an angry person. And so I feel anger is such an amazing power, a productive power, maybe even this threshold into positive emotions when you express and create. Mm-hmm. Instead of destroy.
Yeah.
I think that is so great that you brought it up.
Yeah. I have a great, one of my colleagues, she's really big on processing emotions. And so she says, you know, the body's kind of like a storage locker. And when you don't process emotions efficiently and effectively, and it's our own human design to protect. And so if right now when the emotion is occurring is not a good time for your body to process it, you will shove it somewhere and hold onto it for later.
Yeah.
And so then, like, looking at some of those gallbladder issues and the anger that you stuffed, that's a good way to start processing that, so that that gallbladder can now become free and you can unbox all that emotion that has been stored there.
Right.
Which
absolutely see it that way. Mm-hmm. Good that we talked about that. So this is one issue. People could come to you with a gallbladder issue. What is your client looking for? The clients that reach out to you? Because you have this broad variety. You talked about weight loss. We talked about gallbladder. We talked about digestion and food. So, and you talked about the hormones. So I would really love to know who is the very best client for you and who a great match.
I love working with women who have autoimmune disorders, or they are transitioning into menopause, mm-hmm. perimenopause, their body is changing. They are not a fan of the changes. And we get very frustrated. I feel like in Western medicine, we don't have a lot of great answers. No. We kind of just throw hormones at somebody. But the problem is your body is designed to transition in a certain way. And what happens is there's kind of an inflammatory issue underlying. Once we address that, that has a lot to do with the toxic soup that we all live in. You know, and we're getting more chemicals and more plastics and more, you know, stuff, chemicals and everything that is bombarding our system. And so it makes it not function as well. What I do is I have a system of how the body decides to compensate in a certain way. I help them reverse that compensation. So can I help a lot of people? Absolutely. My favorite people to work with are autoimmune women and women with hormone issues that are not sleeping well, their mood's changing, they're gaining weight and they don't know why, they're not changing anything, and their sleep patterns are disrupted. And so I love helping them transition back and finding who they are. They're also in the time too where maybe they don't even know who they are or what their purpose is. And so I love helping them find that because we're all here for a reason.
Absolutely. And I just had this picture as I think a lot in visual, like for everyone, invisible pictures, but I have those visuals when I listen to you. And I just thought about you, everyone who feels this pull to reach out to you should reach out to you because you are this amazing heart of wisdom, of knowledge, of experience, of magnificence, and they can really draw and pull information, input, guidance, mentoring, practical tips from you, just like reaching out to you, like those roots that I painted, and then they can thrive again. And when you explained this with the hormone issues, that's like, yes, our bodies are designed to transition into another phase. And if you just swallow hormones, that's not the way it is meant to be. Mm-hmm. And so when people decide to reach out to you with their roots, they can expect to thrive and to flourish and to blossom again in this third phase they are growing into.
Yes, yes. Yes.
How beautiful.
Absolutely. I love that.
Mm-hmm. So that beautiful. Yeah. And I think now it is time to, if you want to share, first of all, how people can reach you with their roots to plug in.
Absolutely. I am at Holistic Dena, HOLSTICDENA.net. And that's the quick, easy way to get a hold of me. Phone number is 1-314-897-7727.
Great that you said it in the slow way because then people can write it down.
Yes.
I like that. Awesome. And is there maybe a gem, maybe a quote, maybe an experience, anything that comes to your mind right now that people need to hear right now when they listen or watch this episode, a hidden gem or a tip or a trick or something that you want to share right now?
I just listened to this quote this morning and it was like and I'll probably mess it up a little bit, but the gist of it was, all of your dreams and desires lie in the work that you're not willing to do. And that is like a soul punch to me, because if you're willing to do the work, you will reap big rewards.
Yeah.
And whether that has to do with your prosperity, your work, your life's work, your health, your fitness, your parenting, your relationship, it all takes work. And you just got to be willing to do it.
And that was just such a beautiful conclusion and wrapping up of the small aspects we touched when we looked at your gene keys and the chart of your human design. All those aspects, they are, oh, no, we are very... A visitor, such a beautiful visitor. So all the aspects are hidden or are part of this holistic concept, and there is no exclusion. And I think to feeling well and to feeling fulfilled and fit and healthy and happy, it needs to really include the whole spectrum of spheres and of aspects of life.
And you and I both know that it's all tied together.
Yes, it is.
You fix one aspect, you fix, you know, across the board, so many other aspects. So it's great to do the work.
Absolutely. Dana, it was such a pleasure and such an honor to have you and to have you share your wisdom, to have you share your heart and your tips. I could go on forever and a day, but we are running out of time. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching another episode of Magnificence, the one and only empowerment podcast that strikes a match and shines the light on your magnificence and the magnificence of my guests. Stay tuned and see you soon.
Thank you for joining us for this empowering episode. To continue this journey of aligning with your true purpose and uncovering your magnificence, schedule an illumination call with Patricia at patricialindner.com. Please share this episode with someone who needs it and subscribe to the show on YouTube and your favorite podcasting platform. Join us again soon for another episode of Magnificence.